Most people find much of their security in money. That's fine until that little pack of cards collapses. A global financial crisis, an earthquake, a health scare. It's not a case of if, but when. So when one of those hits, what happens to your sense of security? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to A Different Perspective as we chat about our oft misplaced sense of security with my special guest, Rick Dunham. And do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our newest life application booklet called Money Matters. I'd love to send you a free copy to help you make sure that your wealth becomes a faithful servant rather than a brutal master. Really been interested to listen to Rick Dunham this week. He's my special guest on the program. These days, Rick helps a whole bunch of ministries like ours and others around the world with, well, money. Because without the finances, ministries can't do what they do. The problem with that, well, if someone's going to be helping Christian ministries with finances, and that four-letter word, fundraising, well, you want to make sure that what they're doing in a godly way. They want to understand God's word and God's truth when it comes to money. One of the reasons I've invited Rick onto the program is that God's taken him on a long and arduous journey to sort out his theology of money, for want of a better phrase, and not just in a theoretical sense, but in a practical sense. Rick, welcome again today.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Now, you've just written a book called Financially Secure, and one of the things you talk about is our misplaced sense of security. I guess when you go through a financial crisis, that's where you discover the things that are essential to your security. Can you take us back to your financial crisis? It's quite a while ago now. It's 20 years after your first kind of disaster. Tell us that story.
Yeah, it was 20 years after our first financial crisis, and we'd gone for two decades of tremendous ministry and opportunity in the business world, and begin to consult with organizations. And over a period of months, God had just really prompted my wife and I to leave a partnership. And so we worked through that process and met with the lawyers. And after sitting down with the lawyer, he just kind of matter-of-factly said, you need to be prepared to lose everything. So my wife wasn't with me at the time. I was like, well, here we go again. So we met her at one of our favorite little Italian restaurants. And I was kind of breaking the news to her. And I just remember both of us kind of looking at each other, and just this enormous peace just literally enveloped us in the moment. And I was like, wow, where did that come from? And as we began to chat, we realized that, we're at peace because money could never be the source of security. And that it was really, we had each other, we had God, and we had our faith, and that God would definitely provide. He had taken us on this journey to realize, you know what? God really will provide. And it was just an amazing kind of awakening to what God was really doing. It was very cool.
How did you feel seeing the lawyer's office before you had that piece? Maybe there was something in the Italian food. I don't know. But
I was pretty uptight because I really didn't know which way this thing was going, and I was actually quite confused, to be honest. And even leaving the lawyer's office, I was concerned, to say the least. But it was God really met us in that moment, and He began part of the revelation. I think that God was giving us in the moment was that money is this enormously cruel master, that often, unknowingly, we can begin to come under its spell and under its power. And it kind of post that evening, as I began to think about it, I realized, you know what? No human being is really immune from the power of money. Whether you're poor, seeking to put food on the table, the up-and-coming lass is trying to reach for the golden ring of prosperity, or the rich, we're all under its power. And the question is, will we allow ourselves to stay under its power or break that spell and allow God to be the total source of our security and not that money?
What do you think are some of the indicators that we need to be looking out for in our own lives in terms of where we're finding our sense of security? How do we know that this is starting to affect us?
Well, the starting point is in terms of our financial priorities. Where do we place the emphasis of how we spend what God has put into our trust? And of course, the number one indicator there is my commitment to giving. In America, it's quite a sad tale. you had asked in an earlier program about this whole issue of, from America, you know, how can we, this land of prosperity, be speaking about this whole issue of giving and money and stuff. There was a survey done in America by the Center on Philanthropy on giving to religion. I kind of zeroed in on the Baptists because they're the ones that teach the most on tithing. And if you're a Baptist, please forgive me for what I'm about to say. But what the study showed was that 35% of self-prescribed Baptists don't give at all.
Now, the reason you chose Baptist is because they have a strong theology of giving in the U.S.
Very strong theology.
So he's a good area to understand.
Yeah, if anybody's going to get it, it's going to be the Baptist because of their constant speaking to this issue of tithing and offering. So 35% said they didn't even give at all. And of the 65% that do give, they only give 2%. So when I look at the tithe, a lot of people, I think, have this mentality that tithing is like tipping God. I give God my 10% tip. Then I have the 90% to do with what I want. Mm. Well, man, we're even giving a bad tip at 2%. I mean, it's awful. So I think the whole starting point is the priorities of how I spend my money. And I think giving is a quick barometer of, is that really at the top of my list, or does that come here at the very bottom? And if I've got some money left over, I'll tip God my 2, 3, 4%, maybe 10%, or I won't give it all.
It's interesting when you talk about, I mean, of course, tithing is an Old Testament concept.
Yes.
I think the guy who started Kraft Foods, who was a great giver, once said, I don't believe in tithing, but I guess it's not a bad place to start. When you talk about giving away, let's say a tenth of one's income, one of the things I experienced when I just became a Christian, I was in the IT industry and I was earning actually a lot of money back then. 10% of a lot of money is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder whether sometimes it's even harder to give a significant amount to God's work when you earn more.
Actually, the studies show quite the opposite. What's really interesting is that when you look at philanthropy in America, again, the same study, is that there are more people giving 10% of income at the higher levels.
Okay.
But I say, so what? You know, if I have 10% of a lot of money, it might be a lot of money, but that means that there's a whole lot more money sitting on the table or on the sidelines. It's not being used for kingdom purposes.
Yeah.
So that's why, personally, as we'll get into probably later, I don't believe that the biblical concept of stewardship has anything to do with tithing.
Okay. Oh, that's an interesting... Oh, I'm looking forward to unpacking that over the next few days. Do you think we can get a bit mercenary about this and say, well, you know, people should be giving more? I mean, after all, that's the business you're in.
Mm. I think it's a step back to say, again, what is my priority in life? What I have to look at is, and I go back to our program yesterday, why am I here on this earth?
Yeah.
Is it to grow my retirement account? Is it to create a lifestyle so I can have more fun and enjoyment while I'm here? Or am I a called person? Am I a person under orders to help advance God's kingdom, to bring the good news of God's salvation to the lost? If that's why I'm here, then my life ought to be prioritized around it. That doesn't mean that we have to take a vow of poverty. It doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the life that God has given us here. I think that is anti-biblical. I do not believe that's a biblical concept. But what it does mean is that the thrust of my life, the priority of my life, is to take the resources I have and to ensure that it's being used for kingdom purposes.
That's good stuff. We'll catch up again tomorrow.
Okay.
Money has a grip on many a person's life. Instead of being a faithful servant, it becomes a brutal master. Jesus spoke more about our attitudes towards money than on any other subject because he wants to set us free from that. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application e-booklet. It's called Money Matters, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you make sure that your wealth becomes the faithful servant it should be, rather than the brutal master it can be. And you know, at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.